Internet marketing for smart people. Radio, weekly tips on building and marketing your profitable online business. From copyblogger.com. Hello, all you IMFSP radio listeners out there. My name is Robert Bruce, and I'm here with the founder and CEO of Copyblogger Media, Brian Clark. Brian, you made another trip to Vegas this week to speak on a panel at Affiliate Summit West. How'd that go?
It went pretty well. Probably my most productive trip to Vegas ever. No partying, all work and relaxation.
Wow.
And Affiliate Summit, as usual, was a really great show. I think it was their largest ever. They keep doing that every year. And it was really wonderful because Studio Press and Copyblogger Media, you know, were the one of the sponsors, and actually all the staff for the entire event were wearing Studio Press on their chest with a little Copyblogger logo, media logo below it. So we got a lot of nice exposure, and I only did a small panel that I moderated. So I got to really walk around, meet with people, have some lunches, have some dinners. It was really a nice change of pace from like last year when I keynoted Affiliate Summit. I was stressed out the whole time until I did the keynote. And afterwards, I was like, now I want to go hide, you know? So,
yeah.
So it was really a great time to meet some people and kick around some ideas. So had a good time.
So let's get into this. One of the core ideas that we cover over and over on Copyblogger is that of content marketing. And we do this for good reason. It's become absolutely clear that the future of marketing your business online really hinges on the quality and relevance of information you're going to publish on the web to your customers and to your potential customers. So a question that we get quite a bit is some version of, okay, I get it. I'm sold that content marketing is the way to go. But what do I actually write about? And today we're going to throw out some examples of what content marketing might look like specifically. That is what you could be publishing online that paying customers might find useful and or compelling. So, Brian, can you give some specific examples of content that, say, a service provider might get to work on right away?
Right. So yesterday I put out what's called Are You Creating Meaningful Content? It was really just a way to start thinking about, you know, things from your ideal prospect's perspective. You know, what's meaningful to them? And there were a couple points I was really trying to hammer home, one of which is you need to blow off the rest of the world and laser focus on value for these people, even if it makes other people ignore you or hate you or whatever. Who cares about them? You don't care. But if you water down your content or try not to offend anyone, and I use that word offend in the sense that in this day and age, it seems like everyone gets offended over everything, right? You know, it's Seth Godin's book about, you know, tribes is it was true 10,000 years ago, and it's true to today. So anyway, point number one is you really got to understand who you're talking to and speak specifically to them in a valuable and meaningful way. And more than that, the idea of meaningful content is not just something that someone says, oh, that was a good article. It's got to go beyond that, which is prompts them to take action and hopefully get some kind of positive results, because that's when social media kicks in and your content's being spread, but also your products and services. That's really the great part, right? Because we use content as a way to attract people. But when other people start cutting to the chase and saying, hire this person or buy this product, then you really see some great returns. So anyway, so you asked about service providers.
One quick thing, if I may. You said that, you know, knowing what they want, knowing what your customers, your readers, whatever, whoever they may be, want is the first step in this. And service providers are in a unique position to know who they're talking to, right? I mean, because they're talking to them literally every day.
Absolutely. I mean, people who take clients are on the front lines, and they really do have an inside look into the actual frustrations, needs, desires, et cetera, of their target market. And to a certain degree, that's why I think content marketing for consultants, professionals, service providers, et cetera, is a lot more straightforward. And you see a lot of those type of people effectively doing it. And the interesting thing is, for those type of people, you know, content marketing wasn't invented with the internet. It's just exploded with the internet, and especially with the social web. But, you know, people like lawyers, accountants, realtors would publish articles and everything from trade magazines to the local weekly in order to, like we always talk about, build your authority, be seen as the expert, the one you go to when you need a solution.
Right, right.
So a common way to talk about what kind of content you're supposed to be providing as a service person is, you know, Sonia will always say, well, you got to solve a problem. And that's right. But to a certain degree, using the word problem weird some people out, because they're like, well, okay, so I can understand why someone who needs a criminal lawyer has a problem, but I'm a realtor and I sell homes, and people, that's not a problem. They want a home, you know? So I think it's smarter to talk in terms of solutions. Okay. Because then that negates that ambiguity when using the word problem. No matter what you're offering, if you're a service provider, you're providing a solution. So your content essentially has to provide an informational solution that in turn is more likely to generate more leads, more clients, more business. And service provider marketing has typically been the why and the what, right? Which is why you need us and what we do for you. That's traditional marketing. The most powerful form of content marketing is the how, and it's also the one that freaks people out. And I really struggle when trying to get people to see that, you know, as long as you're getting more business, you know, you don't care about telling the how. So you have this mindset, and you would even get it among attorneys, which really fascinated me, because they're like, well, if I tell them how to do it, what do they need me for? I'm like, really? You're licensed by the state to do this because it's, you know, complicated. And, you know, we live in a very specialized world. I mean, people don't even walk their own dogs anymore. They've got a service for everything, right? So if yeah. you're doing, you know, any kind of specialized service provision, people don't want to do it themselves, but they do want to feel that you are an authority, and that you, they want to get a feel for you. And when you tell people how to do something, whether it be prepare their own tax return or contest a speeding ticket, it, believe it or not, you know, while some people will take that information and literally do it themselves, you don't care about what, you know, you're going to have more business. And that's what marketing is about, more business. And it's interesting how sometimes people get hung up on, well, these people are taking advantage of me. No, they're not. You're richer than you would if you took a different approach, you know. So sometimes people get their own heads in the way. But
this is definitely one of those. If you feel like you're giving away too much, you're probably on the right track, right?
Exactly. And I've seen it happen over and over again, where an aggressive young upstart will come in and take away market share from the respected blue blood firm, because you know, I mean, it's easy when you're young and hungry, you just give away the farm, and then you're freaked out by the fact that you have all this business. Back in the 90s, when I was starting out publishing online, I needed to support myself because I'd quit my law firm job. So I started a newsletter on legal issues related to the internet and figured, you know, pick up a little bit of business each month in order to keep the ship afloat, right? I had more business than I knew what to do with, you know? And here I was, a guy who just walked out of his cushy law firm job, committed career suicide. No, not at all. I mean, that was when I started to really get that content was marketing, because up until that point, I was publishing content, but to me, it's just content. I did not see the connection at all. And it was that initial experience during the .com days when I was in Austin that I started to see how it really works. So what happened was that the business I thought I had started died, and I took what I had actually learned and started another business that was quite successful. So service providers, it's a no-brainer. Tell people how to do things. I call it tutorial marketing. Don't be afraid about how much you're giving away, because number one, people want to hire someone else to do it. And number two, I hope you're better at it than they are, right? If you're not, you shouldn't be in business. So for service providers, I think they're the ones who get content marketing the easiest, because they understand how to build a reputation as a subject matter expert. And all I'm saying is give until it hurts and you'll do better than almost anyone else.
What about folks in local businesses, you know, our favorite beloved mom and pops? We're hearing lately this idea of local mobile social. But what does this mean, if you can expand on this a little bit, for actual local businesses? How can they really capitalize on this through compelling content marketing?
Yeah, so I mean, talking to my SEO friends about the changes that have happened in local search with Google in particular, local is now like the last frontier, the last wild west out there, because it's all new and people are still trying to figure out how the algorithm works. And of course, local business is really the driving force, right? I mean, there's so much there, and yet up until this point, the whole concept of the power of online marketing has been, you know, reach a global audience. But the real power, especially with the rise of social media, intersected with the rise, finally, after 15 years of hype, of true mobile. I mean, mobile is here. The iPhone sparked it. And now we've got serious competition from all the Android phones, with BlackBerry still hanging in there. And then the iPad, last year's big wow thing, you know, I mean, it went from being ridiculed for having a name that sounded like a hygiene product. And then it became the hottest Christmas gift on the planet, to where, you know, you see them everywhere now. And again, 2011 will be the year of the tablet. So just like the Android phones gave a serious run to the iPhone in the smartphone category, and of course, Verizon just got the iPhone, so that's just going to open up a whole new market of people who've been holding out, who didn't want to go to AT&T. So mobile is huge, but and the social aspect is not apparent. But you know, things like Foursquare are interesting, but it's not the thing. You know, Groupon is, there's such a billion-dollar big deal about them, which is effectively an email marketing company, right? But they got it right. It's not fancy new technology. It's email, you know, for any of those who might wonder if email's dead. Yeah, look at the fact that Google tried to buy Groupon for $6 billion and they said no. I think that was a mistake personally, but hey, we'll leave that for next year. So the social aspect is that we are communicating more on the local level about what we're doing in the real world. Something I like to refer to as tangible digital. It's the digital media in the real world, and it's really coming to a head at the intersection of local, mobile, and social. So the local businesses, you're right, they're always the one that look at me and are like, you know, what am I supposed to do here? And the point is that they need to think about it. The easiest way for a local business to think about the kind of content that they would produce in order to attract attention. Okay. And let's back up just for a second. There's two types of content, really, when you think about it. There's attraction content, where people find you even though they weren't specifically looking to buy something from you. Copyblogger is that model, in which the free content on Copyblogger goes out every day, and you know, a person who is attracted to Copyblogger at the beginning is not necessarily looking for a WordPress theme or for the Scribe SEO service or Teaching Sales or Third Tribe. They become introduced to them because they're paying attention to the content. So that's the blog content is attraction content. And then some of our more specialized premium content, for example, the how to create content that ranks well in search engines report, which is free, but is also a natural introduction to Scribe, right? So there's attraction content, then there's conversion content, which is something special like a white paper or a special report or a video. So anyway, on the local front, for example, you have a chiropractor and they have a free report that they want you to opt in for in order to find out all these homeopathic answers to chronic health problems that mainstream pharma is just trying to feed you a pill for, right? Okay. And that would be compelling to a lot of different people. So, but that's conversion content. That's getting you on a list and hopefully at some point getting you to be a customer. Well, how do you get there in the first place, right? The answer historically for the small business has been pay-per-click. And I'm not pay-per-click, if optimized appropriately for conversion, is still very powerful. Problem is it gets more expensive every year. Funny how Google made it that way, right? I mean, the biggest winner in the pay-per-click world is Google. So I'm not saying that, and those are also people that are specifically looking for you right now. So maybe you're willing to pay a higher price for those people. But what about the people that don't know about you at all enough to search? So you start thinking about if you're a local business, you're a chiropractor, you're a dry cleaner, you're a realtor, you know, where would you advertise? Give me your answer to that, Robert. What if you were, let's say you've got a dentist office and you've got a website and you've got some good conversion content that you think can get people engaged with you, but no one's showing up. Where would you advertise offline?
First thing would be the Yellow Pages.
Okay. So that's the Yellow Pages is the offline equivalent of pay-per-click, except pay-per-click's a lot more powerful. So, okay, you got that covered. You're mm-hmm. spending money on pay-per-click to drive people to your website. What else would you do to reach people who don't know to search for a chiropractor?
Ads in local newspaper, local magazines, print.
Exactly. Local content, right?
Yep.
And that's where the big opportunity is, in that we've been saying this for a couple of years, and I know some people who have really gotten it and have made a lot of money, but the concept of every business is a media business right now, when it comes to online marketing, is the most powerful thing that people can figure out and implement it, because it really does take a radical shift in thinking. And not many people will do it, even if they get it, because it really is a completely different way to look at the world. But I started looking at the world that way in the late 90s, and that's been the key to everything, which is you produce media content first, and then the business results from that. And it can be indirect.
And this, I mean, I'm sure there's folks out there who are saying, listen, I'm working 12 hours a day already in the business that I am in. But, you know, whatever. I'm obviously looking to up my conversion rates, my awareness in the community, all of that. Someone like me who's working pretty much maxed out already, there's other options for that content creation, right?
Yeah. Okay. So again, it's a different way of thinking, which of course, and I get that objection all the time, because in my personal story, when I started a virtual real estate brokerage that was all powered by various forms of content, you know, I'm a writer, so I did it all, you know,
right,
myself up front, and I made as much of it evergreen as I could. So I wasn't constantly, and this was in the early days before blogging matured and Google's algorithm matured to the point where it really favored constantly updated websites. Back then, you could be a little more static. You couldn't be completely static. And I had some strategies back then that most of it all still works today, except for the link building thing. I used to do article directory link building, and that's not very effective. But what do we do now? We do guest posting, right? It's even more powerful. So anyway, so yeah, but okay, does a film producer do all the jobs on the set? No,
right?
Not at all, right? Even in the publishing industry, you have an author, and then the publishing machine takes over, at least until they become completely obsolete. You know, so television industry, it takes people. Now, to produce web content does not require a full film set and a best boy and a gaffer and all those other things. I have no idea. What is a best boy? Do you know?
I have no idea. I spent years in the business and no clue.
That cracks me up. Okay. But you, if you're going to think like a media business first, then you've got to have content producers. You got to have writers, you know, and if you like to write and that's part of what you want to do, then great. But otherwise, I mean, for what small businesses pay in wasted advertising, I mean, they don't know what works.
Yep.
They have no clue. You could completely put together a team, a very small team, maybe just one writer at the most, maybe an outsourced designer. There's going to be a huge market in this for our friends that are professional web writers and designers if they start treating what they do more like a mature business instead of the freelance kind of mindset. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And we'll be talking about that more on Copyblogger because it's really important. The small business people can't do it without the talent, right? But you just got to get them seeing eye to eye and working together.
And one bottom line, okay, this is going to be incredibly obvious to a lot of people, but I really want to drive this home because it, I hear in conversations lately with some of the small businesses in the town I'm in, I hear this a lot. And what this kind of one major piece of what this boils down to is, and especially in the next couple of years, is I'm not going to the yellow pages. I'm not really going to my newspaper. I'm sorry. I love the newspaper, that whole thing. But when I want to find a great or a at least a list of, you know, the top four chiropractors in my town, in my tiny little town, I'm going to Google.
Yeah.
And if you're not
can
there.
Can you imagine anyone under the age of, let's just be generous, 45.
Right.
Going to get the yellow pages? I mean, I'm sure there are some technophobic people out there, but generally,
yep.
I, you know, I get mad that they deliver those phone books to my house because I'm like, there's another dead tree. I mean, thanks a lot. You know, why don't you have, you're supposed to be able to opt out of that. And I thought I did, but anyway, yeah, I just toss it in the recycling. It goes right back.
Yep. Yep.
Because I can't imagine going to pick up any kind of book if I can type in five words right there where I'm looking at anyway, or on my phone or on my iPad. And that's, again, why mobile search is such a big deal.
Mm. Yeah. All right. So some folks listening to this might not know that you used to be in the real estate game and you did pretty well with a business model that was fairly unique at the time. You alluded to it briefly just a moment ago. What would you do, you, Brian Clark, if you were starting your real estate career from scratch today? No list, no contacts, square one right now.
Right. Okay. So, in the, you know, we always go back to rule number one, which is who are you trying to serve and what do they want? Okay. Many realtors, you know, I mean, they're licensed to do any kind of real estate deal. So they're basically saying, hell, I'll do it all. Buy, sell, lease, you know, and they're completely undifferentiated. And rule number one of any kind of successful marketing is some kind of positioning, you know, and so much of it is glamour shot with, I was the top producer, you know, I mean, just me, instead of the people who matter, which is the people who either want to buy or sell a house. So when I started that business in 2001, I was very narrowly niched. I mean, I only represented buyers. I wouldn't take listings at all. And people are like, wow, you're cutting yourself off from half the market. I'm like, no, I am better serving more people by not trying to please everyone. So that was That was one key thing. And there's different ways to do it. I mean, you have realtors who specialize in commercial, who specialize in lake properties, who, you know, there's all sorts of ways to do that. But, and those people generally do quite well, because even though they're limiting their prospect pool, they become the go-to guy or gal. They are the authority on lake house residential, right? Okay, so that's number one. Number two, you have to know what people are looking for, especially online, when they are directly motivated to look into who is providing real estate services. Buyers want home listings. Back in 2001, 2002, Dallas-Fort Worth was one of the first areas to embrace what is called IDX, which is this technology that allows you to display the entire MLS listings for your area on your website. And that used to be very controversial. And now, of course, it's mainstream. And you've got all these sites like Zillow and other big plays that are essentially built around the concept of giving people access to home listings. So buyers want home listings, and sellers want to know what their house is worth and what the likelihood is that they're going to be able to sell it. Mm. Okay. So those are two key components. I'm being very specific here just to show you the level at which you need to know what people want in order to get this right.
No, this is perfect. This is exactly what I want to hear.
Okay. So in addition, okay. So again, back in the day, then there was this big debate about whether you require registration to get access to home listings for browsers or not. And you would think, well, Brian, you know, he wants people on an email list. So yeah, he's going to go for the opt-in. I actually didn't. I gave them what they wanted. I let them look, but my website was built up so that only represented buyers. So I showed everyone's listing, but if they wanted more information about it, the lead came to me as a buyer's representative for them. So I was like, if you're interested, I want you to contact me then rather than putting a gate in front of you. But what I did do, which is more valuable, was create segmented information tutorials in order so I could know who they are, or, you know, in a general sense.
Yeah.
And so, and also so I could space them out on what I knew about a buying cycle. So you do a tutorial for first time home buyers, which is always a big market of home buyers. And they're all, you know, they're the most uneducated and kind of apprehensive about the process. So part of being the go-to guy was demonstrating your expertise in a way that showed them that, hey, I'm going to be representing you, not the seller. We're going to get a good deal. Here's what to look out for.
Right.
Another thing I did was create tutorials for people who are relocating. Now, here's another, you know, at the time, I've been out of real estate in a while, but at the time, literally people who were thinking to relocate had a buying cycle. Like from the time they start looking to the time they were actually going to get in the car and look at homes was a year. So, you know, if you don't find a way to communicate with those people over time, you know, and for example, you're using pay-per-click to get them there, you've just wasted that money, because odds are next time they're not going to come find you again.
Yeah.
So again, I offered these opt-in tutorials that kept them on a list. And, you know, it starts off kind of intensive in case they are a 30 days, you know, I need a new house kind of person, and then drips out over the next 11 months to make sure that I was there in front of them, my company, actually, because I didn't handle all this myself. It was really funny. I was great at marketing in real estate, but then when I got all the business, I was like, oh my gosh, I hate this. You know, I had to manage, you know, agents and, you know, business processes. And it's funny now that we've got Copy Blogger Media, things are so well put together compared to when I was the only one involved. You know, it was a nightmare. But that was the thing. When I got out of real estate, I was like, all I want to do is the marketing part. And that's eventually how Copy Blogger got born. So anyway, digression. So that's, you know, again, that's that conversion content where you develop the relationship with them and you hope, you know, a healthy percentage of those people eventually contact you, and that healthy percentage of those people end up paying a commission from the purchase of a home. Okay, so that's all stuff I did last time. Here's what I would do differently. I had some interesting SEO strategies back then, in that I did use blogs, but I didn't blog in the sense that most realtors do now. What I would do is go preview homes and blog the home.
With your own pictures, pictures.
Okay. My own domain, which was optimized to rank for a particular town in DFW. If you know anything about Dallas, Fort Worth, it's a big collection of little towns in addition to Dallas and in Fort Worth.
So
I got to the point where I was ranking number one for Flower Mound and South Lake and Plano. If you know anything about DFW, those are all the places you want to sell houses in the suburbs, right? And it was interesting because I was, again, giving buyers what they wanted, which was more information about homes. And it had a natural SEO benefit in that I was talking about local stuff, neighborhoods, streets, towns. And then I had a good domain that matched the town. Like, Google still gives precedent to exact match domains of some sort in the sense that it has the town and the keyword, such as Plano Homes, in there somewhere, even if it was longer than that, because the good domains were taken. But this is what I would do differently now. And this really ties back into what we were just talking about local and mobile and social. I would, one thing I found out during that time is I did really well because I was really good at marketing and I had a background as an attorney, which fit perfectly with my emphasis on representing buyers and protecting their rights and getting them a good deal, right? But one objection I constantly ran up against, because I covered a large area and I was not always intimately familiar with each neighborhood or town, was they really wanted someone who knew the area, not just the homes, not just the market conditions, but the little things like the restaurants and the schools and, just other local stuff that you don't know unless you actually live there. And nowadays, of course, the big buzzword in local is hyperlocal, meaning everything there is to know about neighborhoods and just small little geographic areas that are self-defined. For instance, there's a website and a movement in Austin, in South Austin, which has always been kind of funky. And of course, Austin's very funky to begin with. And so South Austin is the funkiest of the funky, but they identify themselves by zip code, and they have bumper stickers and they have a website and everything. And, it's very interesting, but that's a great example of hyperlocal. Mm-hmm. So if I were a realtor in that area, I would have started that website. I would have started the movement, right? Mm-hmm. Think like a media producer, because what people want to know about an area is broader than what they can get a home for, especially if they're not quite yet in the market. And nothing makes you more authoritative than being some sort of local, hyper-local media celebrity, because you're talking about the restaurants, you're talking about the arts festival, you're talking about everything that's going on, local politics, everything. And of course, you're doing it with personality, so you're likable, and expertise, so you're authoritative, all the whole range of psychological influencers. But that's what I would build. I would build a local site that has real estate as a back end, as opposed to a real estate site.
At first glance, you would have no clue that it's even real estate. And this is not manipulative in any way. It's like real. No, you're talking about real information, really useful, meaningful information. Yeah.
It's valuable information that you should be uniquely positioned to provide. It's analogous to what we do with Copy Blogger, which is we're giving away content that, if you racked it all up over the last 5 years, there's at least two or three books in there, and we give it all away for free. And, that's brought us a lot of of fans and people that appreciate that. And those people end up, you know, we're catering to people who build websites. So we sell tools related to building websites, and then we educate you how to build them better. It's just that perfect synergy, going back to the easy definition of content marketing, which is give away valuable content and sell something related. So if you're selling real estate, what's related? It's everything around the real estate.
It's the life,
entire lifestyle. The vibe, right?
Yep. Would you take two or three neighborhoods, or would you just stick to one, literally one small neighborhood? Separated, obviously, separate sites for each neighborhood, exactly what you're talking about, but duplicate it several times. You know, I'm thinking about revenue. I'm thinking about, man, could one neighborhood really take care of me financially?
It depends. So, for example, like the Lakewood area in Dallas. It's East Dallas. It's the liberal side of Dallas, if there is such a thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's a very attractive side of town. Old homes. Lakewood Boulevard has these stately, you know, mansions that are slightly smaller than mansions, but you know, everything from a Spanish tiled hacienda style to, you know, just an eclectic neighborhood. And the prices are such that you sell a couple homes a month, you are doing well, right?
Got it.
Yep. So for that type of neighborhood, yes. And I do own the domain Dallas Lakewood. I've had it for 10 years.
All right. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, exactly. We may want to develop that out now that we've given away our strategy. We got to run, you know.
Right, right.
But for that kind of neighborhood, oh yeah. You, as an individual agent, you could make a fantastic – I mean, there's already agents who advertise conventionally who only focus in Lakewood. Now, of course, they'll take – you know, they'll take a gig anywhere, right? But that's their main thing, because at least they understand that narrowing your expertise brings you actually more business than saying I do everything. Saying I do everything is a certain kind of way of saying I do nothing well.
What would the conversion look like? You're talking about tutorial marketing, all of this, but you're also talking about the face of this site. That is, you know, saturated in the life and lifestyle of this neighborhood. But how would it click with me if I'm moving from Montana to the Lakewood neighborhood in around Dallas? How would it click with me? Okay, man, I found this really cool. Oh, honey, check this out. You know, it's everything we need to know about Lakewood. Are you talking, what would the conversion look like to where it clicked with me that yes, oh, by the way, we can also work with this guy to buy a home.
Well, that comes down to the intricacies of site design. So let's think of a local website that, and there's tons of them. Okay. Like City Search is one of the oldest ones, except to, you know, and they have the ability to rank for a lot of different things, and you can guarantee they're trying to do their own local hyper-local strategies. But the great thing here is the addition of social media, you know, where residents there don't want to promote the soulless City Search. They want to promote one of their own.
All right.
Who happens to have a slickly designed website built on WordPress and Genesis. And what did I just do there?
What?
Sorry. But yeah, so that is all in the execution, and I would be hesitant to give one size fits all advice there.
Yeah.
But at some point, real estate is the most local of businesses. I mean, you can move a restaurant to a new building, but the dirt is not going anywhere, right? So once you have a hyper-local focused site, if you were doing that as an independent entrepreneur, who would you sell ads to? Realtors. But I guarantee you, you can make more money at being the realtor that is featured on that site. And of course, you can do your traditional advertisements, but then you go back to the opt-in stuff, the tried and true stuff that I did before, except now it's first-time home buyers in Lakewood's neighborhood, you know, Dallas's Lakewood neighborhood, right? relocating, you know, specifically to this neighborhood. It's the same advice. It's just made hyperlocal, more specific. And as you know from your copywriting lessons, the more specific you are, the more it's going to appeal to the most highly motivated prospects. And of course, then you've got this hyperlocal site that's ranking for the neighborhood. As soon as you build out a real estate section of that site, odds are you're going to outrank everyone else. If you've got some links. And of course, that would be the one difference between my old strategy and now. I would go out and guest post on other publications, hopefully local, so that it's more relevant, but a variety. And that's how you build links back to your site. And it's all on the up and up. In fact, it's delivering value across the board. And that's exactly what Google wants.
And much more value, if I may say, than an ad in the newspaper, right? To the average reader, to the average person.
That's what I'm saying. You become the newspaper.
Yep.
Except you are a very hyper-focused little newspaper, and a lot more interesting than the average newspaper.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm really uncomfortable with the amount of information that you've given out today. So let's wrap this up. I'm going to go
Does that mean we did well?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what the take is here. I need to go get 90210.com right now. So I got to get out of here. But hey, whether you are a realtor out there, a family restaurant, a chiropractor, or any other kind of local service business, and you want to understand these topics more and in depth and get yourself a serious education in marketing online, go ahead and check out our free 20-part course called Internet Marketing for Smart People. You can get there easily anytime by clicking the link near the bottom of this post or by clicking the IMFSP banner in the right sidebar of copyblogger.com. That's almost always there. So thanks for listening, everyone. And Brian, we're going to continue this conversation in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I think it'll be good to try to do some more of these specific, you know, here's what I'd do if I were this, because I think it, you know, even if that's not your industry, it gets easier to extrapolate what you would do beyond how general we have to stay on the blog, because we don't know exactly who's reading. So yeah, this was fun. We'll do more of this.
If you don't mind being put on the spot like that, you know, I mean,
it keeps life interesting.
Yeah, right, to say the least. All right, man. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips on building and marketing your profitable online business. From copyblogger.com.